Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Prep Life Podcast. This is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger. And today I have the special privilege of interviewing DeRaja Hill, who I got to meet at North Americans when she won the overall. I was standing in line right behind you. I don't know if you realize that, but I got to hear your feedback from Sandy as she looked at your pictures. I was standing behind you and Paul. So, I kind of saw that whole thing, your pro journey start.
That is too funny. I did not know that.
I guess I didn't share that. But, you are a huge inspiration, and I've been following your journey, and I'm so impressed, as I'm sure our listeners are as well, how fast you're like the fast track pro. You have done everything in a very
conventional.
What was that?
It was not conventional.
So you did a similar path to my co-host. She had the same feedback just the year before when she won her pro card, Chris Nicole, at North Americans. Sandy told her, you should hop into a pro show to see how you stack up, you know, with the height classes being different. And she actually did the Hurricane Pro as her pro debut as well.
We all know
that led you to the Olympia qualification, which is amazing. So without further ado, I wanted you to share with the listeners a little bit about your background, where you live, and before we get too far into your journey, I'll let you talk more.
I first started competing in 2018. You know, I was into lifting weights and stuff in the gym when I got to college, but before that I was a tennis player for like a really long time. I played competitive tennis. It was kind of a family thing. You know, my dad played in college and throughout his childhood. My brother played at UConn all four years of school. Actually, he was, I want to believe he was either co-captain or like right under that his senior year. But he was definitely a team leader. So that was really cool. I was super proud. And after, I want to say it was like, going towards my senior year of high school, I had already tried, you know, playing soccer, running track, and kind of just like understood eventually that tennis, you know, wasn't my passion as much as I loved it. And I loved traveling and making friends through the sport. It wasn't where I saw myself, you know, pursuing anything further. And then when I went to school down at Florida Gulf Coast University in Fort Myers, Florida, I got into weightlifting because I was not blessed with nice hourglass curves. It was right around like, I might have been late to the party because I'm not super like social media savvy or like whatever. but it was when I got introduced to like Instagram models, Fitzbos, and they were all, you know, with this like very similar shape, very curvy, like big butts. And I was like, oh, like maybe if I get into the gym, I can build some curves like that. And that's how I started going to the gym. But I also just loved fitness in general. I liked being in shape and just working out. I was never much of a couch potato. And then when I met my then boyfriend, but now fiance, he liked going to the gym, working out. But he noticed I was kind of getting like really into this like place of comparing myself to these girls. That I look nothing like structure-wise, genetic-wise. Like, it was just not for me to just have that small, soft frame. I was always with a very athletic build. So he was like, you know, you should just be a little more productive with your energy because I don't like seeing you like this. So he was like, you should do either a powerlifting competition or bodybuilding, but something to put this energy towards. And I was also just feeling kind of stuck. I felt like I had, like, maxed out what I was trying to do, feeling kind of lost, not really knowing what next step to take. I knew nothing about counting macros, meal plans, nutrition. I just like to eat a lot. Especially growing up, my dad's family's from Guyana in South America. So food is very affluent, you know, in that Afro-Caribbean culture. And then my mom's family's from Arkansas. a lot of soul food, Southern cooking. You always finish what's on your plate. So
yeah.
It was never, I was one of, you know, lucky enough to have never had an issue with an eating disorder or anything like that. But I definitely don't think that my eating habits were by any means healthy. So I got into bodybuilding. It was right around the time of the Arnold that I was looking into either doing powerlifting or bodybuilding. Obviously, my first thought was, oh, I could never be a bodybuilder because I don't want to be big. I didn't know anything about the Olympia, the Arnold, nothing. I knew nothing about any of that stuff.
And just and so we then, have an idea, what time frame was that when you started lifting and kind of looking into the sport?
That was like January, February of 2018.
2018. Oh, okay. So that's pretty recent. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, so right on the time of the Arnold, because it was like right before, and Angelica had won it, you know, in 2017 as well, before she won in 2018. And I saw her and I was like, oh my gosh, I would love to look like that. Like, I have muscle. I've always been kind of like insecure about my muscle, just being a more athletic build, always wanting to try and make myself look soft and more, you know, quote unquote feminine. But then seeing, you know, girls with muscle being kind of, you know, glorified and rewarded, I was like, I could do that. And I also just was not into trying to get like a heavy bench press. That was like not my thing. So I decided that I was going to do my research and throw myself into the world of competing.
Awesome. So that was in the beginning of 2018. And then when was your first competition?
So my first competition was in June of 2018.
Okay.
The NPC Southeastern, it was in Orlando that year, I believe. But I think this year, well, it was supposed to be in Tampa, but, you know.
Yeah, things happen. That virus.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's a pretty quick timeline. But it sounds like you were into lifting weights. How many years before that had you been lifting?
Yeah, I started lifting like kind of 2013 to 2014, and then I actually started like really getting into lifting like on an actual like schedule, like going consistently, 2014 going into 2018, so about 4 to 5 years.
Yeah, and then obviously you were very athletic and had, you know, a big athletic background, so I'm sure that you were developed too before that. So
yes, because I was actually always super scared to lift upper body. I like never touched an upper body weight until I started prepping in 2018 for a show.
okay. And so then you, after that, so how did you place then at that regional, your first regional show?
So I did, I got first in novice and then second in open. It was a very small show. So I don't even, you know, I'm not going to be like, oh, I won, or like, I placed really well, because it was, you know, very small classes, but it was a great introduction, I think, into competing for sure.
Awesome. And so then did you do another competition before you, because I know that you did nationals, right, at NBC?
Yeah.
Nationals in Miami that year?
Yep. Before that, I did the Dexter Jackson Classic in July in Jacksonville.
I've done that.
And that was
before.
Right. Did you?
Yeah. It was
it's a really
year,
nice
but
show. Yeah.
Oh, so you did that previously before the Orlando one? Is that what you're saying?
No. Nope. So I did the first one in Orlando in June, and then in July I did the Dexter Jackson.
Okay. And how did, in that short amount of time, did you make some improvements and do better, like, in placing?
Yeah, so actually, that was my first overall.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And, yeah, that was my first overall win. And at the time, still, they were like, oh, look, you're nationally qualified. And I was like, what does that mean? Like, I was like, I don't know. Because at the time, I was just having fun, you know, seeing where I could improve. And actually, right before that, I had reached out to Paul Ravella because I had seen his videos all over YouTube and used them quite a bit to kind of navigate prepping. until I got my opportunity to work with him.
Okay, so the first show then in June, it sounds like you prepped yourself?
Yeah.
Okay.
I had some, it was kind of like a yes and no. I started out working with someone, and then I kind of very quickly realized that our prep philosophies didn't really align. So I kind of just like did my own thing.
Okay. And was that because of the way that the nutrition was laid out, or
mostly that.
Okay.
And just like the training, the more research I did, the more I realized that, you know, there's more than one way to do it and to succeed at it.
Mm-hmm.
He was more meal plan based, and it was kind of just like a cut and paste kind of thing, it seemed. And I would find myself like looking for like ways to substitute different foods, but like also stay within my calories, at the time I didn't know that was flexible dieting.
Yeah.
But then when I found Paul's videos, I was like, oh, like he does this, and it does work. So I was like, well, then I just need to work with him.
So did you have any time with Paul leading up to the Dexter Jackson, or is that kind of when you guys got together?
Two weeks.
Two weeks.
He was like, yeah, I'll just help you, you know, continue with this. And because the peaking process for me, I had no idea what was involved with trying to peak yourself. So he helped me peak for the show. And then we were thinking of maybe doing North Americans because it was right around the corner. But I was like, no, I'm honestly kind of tired. I just want to take a minute. Plus, NPC Nationals is in Miami, which I live in Naples, Florida. So all I had to do was drive.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't want to fly to my first national show because I didn't really know what I was getting myself into. I was like, it's right down the road. I'll just wait until November.
Okay. And you placed top five there, right? Didn't you get fourth place?
Yep, I placed fourth.
Yeah. I think, was Carolyn, was she the first place in your class? What class were you for that?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, Carolyn Lee. Yeah. She placed first in class B.
I remember she got second place that I think maybe eight times at every single,
every
show before that. She did every national show. And if there was, if the pro card went to the first or second place, she got third.
Yeah.
Or if it was like the first place winner, she got second. So I remember that was a big deal because I think it was like her eighth national show.
Jeez.
Yeah. So she had a long journey. much different.
It's so funny though, because she actually, we ended up realizing that we're local to each other. So we ended up like running into each other at my home gym.
Yeah.
She had switched. And so then it was cool. But then she moved to Jacksonville. So
yeah, she's a sweetheart. I love her.
She's super sweet.
Super sweet. Yeah. So you did very well for your first time at Nationals. So what did you guys change about your training style? Because then we fast forward almost a year and, you know, a little bit less than that. And you go from fourth place to winning the overall. So what were some things that you guys changed in that meantime?
Well, one big thing, the training aside, conditioning, we were much leaner going into North Americans this time around. I think because I had never worked with Paul before and I never knew what stage lean was, we definitely missed the mark conditioning wise, like by a lot, at least in my opinion. So we came in much more conditioned for North Americans. And then training wise, I just focused on building an upper body to kind of match, you know, my lower body. And I honestly actually stopped training legs June or July of 2018.
Okay.
And I haven't trained legs since then.
Oh, wow. Okay.
But I train glutes. And yeah, that's the only lower body training I do right now.
Okay. So when you say that you weren't quite stage lean and that you missed mark, I always kind of like to know what your height was,
mm-hmm.
so we can kind of visualize. And I know that the scale really, especially in your case,
yeah.
probably doesn't matter or have much precedence in regards to, because you build muscle pretty rapidly and it's more about body mm-hmm. composition. Do you have any way of comparing and contrasting what that like fourth place versus when you won the overall, what
actually,
that kind of
yeah.
looked like? Yeah.
Yeah. So we, I actually did, I participated in a study at USF, University of South Florida,
mm-hmm.
in Tampa, at the end of my prep. So we got body composition testing done, body fat, everything, with ultrasound and with, a scan.
Oh,
and we were actually 14% body fat, after like when I got tested for nationals in 2018.
Okay.
But then towards the end or middle of my season, after winning my pro card, I was significantly lighter in weight, and then body composition wise, I was closer to like the 12% range.
Okay.
Yeah. And then I was 120 pounds on stage for nationals in 2018. I'm 5'2", so that is like significantly heavier than everyone else I was with on stage. And then I was 114 to 115, I believe, going into North American.
Okay. So it was like a difference of like 5 pounds and 2% body fat, it sounds like. So
yeah.
Did you carry on that study when you did your pro debut, and also, you know, when you went to Detroit and beat mm-hmm. Miss Olympia, Miss Ashley Kay, and then went on to the Arnold? Did you track all of that? I mean, how did that whole progression look? I'm a data nerd, so.
Oh, me too, me too. I love numbers.
I geek out about this kind of stuff, so.
Me too. And it's not even like something we like go solely off of. I just like to know like what the numbers are, how everything's being affected by our diet, our training style. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like being a lab rat. You're just like, yeah.
Yeah. it was actually really interesting going into Powerhouse, I was like the lightest I have like been since I want to say like middle school.
Wow.
I was hitting like 112, 111, which I never thought I would see those numbers again in my entire life. So my metabolism was just like eating through everything we were feeding it. And then when I got tested, I was, did we do body fat? I can't remember if we did, but I know going into the Arnold, we had tested it and I had put on about 4 pounds of lean mass, and then we were about 11% body fat. So that was like the leanest I'd ever been.
Wow.
And we had put on a significant amount of muscle, which was not quite what we had planned, to be honest. We didn't, I don't know what happened. My body was just like, okay, I guess we're doing this now.
So basically, I mean, if I'm hearing you correctly, so North Americans was at the very end of August, and
mm-hmm.
you had gotten to your lowest weight, and then you lost basically an additional 4 more pounds. Was that the same for the Hurricane Pro? Because that's like a month later, right? I mean, that's like mid-September, or?
So 4 pounds was between Powerhouse and the Arnold.
Okay. And Powerhouse was like, what date was that in 2018?
The 29th.
Of September?
I think.
Wow.
I believe it was the last weekend of September.
So that's like just a month, basically. You lost an additional 4 pounds?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. That's exactly what happened, which that was a surprise to us also. So.
Yeah, I bet. That's mind-blowing. And I bet you're eating more calories. It's so funny how the metabolism just, you know, it responds in different ways. Amazing.
It was really nice because we basically had already started my reverse diet going into Powerhouse.
Okay.
So it made my diet after, like post show, mm-hmm. my reverse diet for improvement season a lot easier to adjust to, just because I was already eating more calories. I wasn't starving. I wasn't super hungry. I was kind of just chilling.
And that's probably good too, because you have to apply for the Arnold, unlike any other pro show. Those
mm-hmm.
listeners that don't know that, I think you probably broke history with like the shortest resume, you know, just turning around and
two shows.
Getting accepted into the Arnold. That's a huge honor. It was well deserved. So,
thank you.
But yeah, I bet that made it a little bit, I wouldn't say easier because it's never easy, but at least you were a little bit more comfortable in your reverse. So did you have to diet very hard then for the Arnold once you found out that you were accepted?
So it was actually a more emotional prep for me than anything. Like physically, it was fine, especially with the amount of muscle we added. It actually made it a little bit, I don't want to say easier to diet, but the more muscle you have, I think the better your body does with less body fat, mm-hmm. I think, at least just in my experience. But it was definitely a very like emotional prep. It was kind of hard for me to get my mind like wrapped around, I think, the idea of actually getting on the Arnold stage. Cause like we kind of already addressed, like it was a very quick, plunge into the IFBB Pro League.
Yeah.
Not that I'm, you know, I don't want to sound like ungrateful because I'm 100%, you know, grateful for all the opportunity. And I signed up for that. You know, I applied. If I, you know, didn't want to do it, I wouldn't have applied. But it was a very surreal kind of like, I'm really doing this kind of thing.
Yeah. So you had also another just something that we've never seen in the history of the Arnold. I mean, I've been going into it for years and, you know, you're used to seeing, you know, thousands and thousands of wild people. And I mean, mm-hmm. I know that was, you had never been to the Arnold, so you didn't know like kind of what you're missing with the expo, but what was mm-hmm. the vibe, just with all of the uncertainty and like with not knowing, you know, if you're going to be able to have an audience, like if your family was going to be able to watch you, what did all of that feel like?
So the only thing that was disappointing to me was my grandmother and my uncle had, and my brother had like made travel plans and stuff to come and see me compete, which I've never, you know, gone out of my way to invite, you know, a bunch of family and friends to come see me compete just because, you know, ironically, I hate being the center of attention and I don't like when things are like about me or people, you know, go out of their way to do things because then I like if it falls through, then I just feel like a butt because I'm like, well, you know, you had all these plans, financial, you know, you financially invested in coming out and now you can't come. So I was just very disappointed and I felt bad. But what everyone was reassuring me that, you know, just to stay focused on, you know, competing and being calm, not stressing out about it. The expo, it would have been nice to have it just because it would have been my first big expo, but I was already so tired at the end of that weekend that I was like, I couldn't even imagine have actually like having the expo and, you know, working the expo because I represent Core Nutritionals, the right. supplement sponsor, and then Angel Competition Bikinis. So I would have had to work, you know, the booths for a couple hours and then, you know, meet people, which I would have loved to have done, but I couldn't even imagine how exhausted I would have been after the weekend was all said and done.
Yeah, no, what your words that you were saying, one thing that I just really admire about you is that you are just this like humble and kind person. And
oh, thank you.
It really shows what your character is. It doesn't surprise me at all that you were upset about your grandma and your brother. I mean, you deserve all of that. You deserve for people to come and watch you, but you are so humble.
Thank you.
And I think that that's a really endearing quality. It can be
you're gonna
easy.
Make me cry.
Well, in this sport, it's easy to get wrapped up, you know. It can be like a self-centered sport, but if your heart's in the right spot, then people like you, it just shines that you're in it for the right reasons. And I just wanted to tell you that I appreciate that about you. I think it's really
cool.
Thank
you.
Yeah. So speaking of the Arnold, I have to say you were, I don't know if you listened to our podcast where we made our picks, but you were in my top five. Yeah, I was just really shocked. So I wondered what some of your feedback was because I thought you looked amazing.
Thank you.
What did the judges say that you'll need to bring as you prepare for the Olympia that is now in December, right before Christmas? So we'll talk about those changes as well. But I wanted to hear like what your feedback was from the Arnold and what you're kind of working on right now.
Yeah, so my feedback mostly was that my glutes were too conditioned, and that overall my conditioning was just a little more than it needed to be, I guess. And then, yeah, they just didn't like how conditioned my, like, how you could see, like, my tie-ins as much as you could. And then my shoulders were a bit overpowering. Like, my upper body was a bit overpowering. So I just was, like, a little imbalanced. But so I'll backtrack a second, because my feedback from Powerhouse, when we had talked to Becky before going into off season, was not to change anything. But, you know, we were like, we're going against Issa, Angelica, you know, you know, these top pros with these, you know, amazing shape, you know, these girls have muscle. So we wanted to make, you know, I don't know, we just felt like we needed to bring something a little bit more. Try to build out a little bit, re-exaggerate my shape. We added squats back in, but like I tried to make them like a little bit modified so that, you know, I could have as little quad engagement as possible. But it just was not, my quads did grow a little bit, especially up top. So it kind of like muted out a little bit of the separation between my glutes. You know that little like dip in your hip when you're in that front pose, that side front pose?
I call it like a teardrop.
Yeah, yeah,
it
exactly.
It kind of looks like a teardrop. I don't know. Yeah. That's not the technical term, I realize, but.
I don't know. Who knows? But yeah, so I did feel like my quad development was a little bit more than it should have been. It took me a few weeks to kind of like really analyze like my emotions from, you know, that weekend, that feedback. Because I do feel like shape-wise, I brought something that I was super proud of. But now that I look back, you know, trying to see it more objectively, I can see where I kind of fell short with the overall bikini look. I think I am super proud of that package. But I think if we had... So right now we're trying to bring my quads back down, shrink my legs a little bit. My shoulders, I haven't trained them since the Arnold, actually, just to bring some volume down. And then, so right now we're just doing back and glutes twice a week and then running twice a week for cardio. And then everything else is just steady state. So, yeah, but that was my feedback. Was nothing about my suit color, surprisingly. I did get a few, you know, comments that my suit color was too dark, which it was. It didn't contrast as much as we thought it would, which was disappointing because I loved that suit. It was like a nice ruby, but it just was not it. So we are probably going to go back to what the judges liked, which was like those blues, teals, colors, because they pop better. But overall, they said that they, you know, I brought a good package, but we just kind of missed the mark a bit on a couple things.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I guess I can see some of that. But as far as your posing, did they say anything about that or parts that you could
not make? At all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Your posing is really good. And I know you have a posing coach. Is that right?
Yeah. Jasmine Gonzalez.
Okay. And how long have you worked with her?
I actually hired her as my posing coach in 2018. I think I want to say between NPC Southeastern and Dexter Jackson, or it might have been before Dexter, or might before Southeastern. I'm like getting tongue tied.
All the directions.
Sorry.
All of the things. Basically, from the beginning, it sounds like. So.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. And is she local? Did you get to see her face to face or?
I did not. She was online from the beginning, which I was like, how is this going to work? But I saw her, I started following her and I saw her posing was like really good. So I was like, oh, I'm a hot mess. So I'm going to hire somebody
Well, you certainly don't look like a hot mess. She did a really good job. And then if, but now you're a posing coach yourself, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So tell us about your business. When did you start doing that?
So I started officially posing coaching. It was in December, I believe, either December or November. It was late last year. I started posing coaching. I actually consulted with Jazzy to see, you know, get her advice on, you know, setting up a website, payment, how she does her scheduling and stuff. Mm-hmm. So she's been like a really awesome, you know, friend and mentor in that department because I had no idea what I was doing.
And how's that been going? Has it been good?
It's going really well. Yeah. I'm honestly like overwhelmingly appreciative of, you know, the people that, you know, trust me with their posing and, you know, being a part of their journey, because posing is definitely something, if any of the listeners are currently my clients, they'll know that it's very close to my heart, posing and creating a presentation, because it's, for me, it's a lot more than just being on stage. I'm not someone that naturally just like woke up confident, as so having kind of like that self-esteem, that self-confidence and self-assurance, not second guessing myself. That's something that I've struggled with for a long, long time. But posing and, you know, being on stage, I had to kind of learn how to fake it till I made it, and then realized, you know, those parts of me that I'm not always so sure about, they're what make me, you know, motivating, inspiring, to other people. And it's just me being my truest self. And, yeah, you know, being sure of that and not apologizing for it. And that's something that that translates on stage, but that's something that I can also apply to what I do every day, you know, and but posing coaching in school and when, you know, I meet new people, networking, that's something I've always been scared of because I'm like, meeting new people, I don't know how to do that. I can't just walk up to somebody and be like, hi, my name's Deraja, nice to meet you. But now I can. And obviously it's not just because of posing and competing, but it's just those things that I've learned through the journey and through the process, that have been extremely rewarding to help bring out in other women. Like it's sometimes my clients honestly bring me to tears because they're like, I couldn't wait to post today. Like I feel so confident. And you've helped me, you know, just kind of really come out of my shell and get excited about, you know, the process and every day, you know, waking up and finding a reason to just, you know, be confident and excited to look in the mirror and say, I love that woman that I'm looking at. And that's just the most rewarding thing.
That's amazing. Yeah, I think that if things don't come easy to someone, I think they become a better teacher because they understand. Mm-hmm. I remember I used to, you know, years ago, I used to teach posing classes with a girl that was just like a dynamite on stage. She was a professional salsa dancer. And that like stage presence and performance came so naturally to her. And I was like always a nervous wreck and I couldn't, you know, posing was like my worst part. I would like, give me a diet, give me training. I would have been fine. But it's like,
right,
that did not come easy to me. So I feel like sometimes that makes us better teachers because we can empathize with those people and be like, okay,
absolutely,
I was once in your shoes and I understand. And so I know what it's going to take to like bring you to that inner ego that, you know, you're able to like bring out on stage, or that inner, I guess that part of you, that those characteristics,
right,
of yourself that make you you, but they just come out a little bit bigger on stage because everything has to be a little bit bigger, you know?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's funny because people like used to say, or they still say like, it's like you become a different person when you're on stage. Cause like talking to me, like, you know, I'm a huge dork. If you meet me in person, I'm like super short, like just like kind of goofy. But then like when I'm on stage, it's like I become someone else. But then I realize like, I'm not becoming anybody else. I'm just channeling, you know, that other side of me, you know, that's always been there. I just didn't know it.
Yeah. It's just like, I mean, it's like the jewelry's bigger and the hair is bigger on stage, but it's still a part of you, but you just have to make it a little bit bigger on stage. So I like that you do that with posing, because I think that everybody should have like that part of their character come out, and, you know, for that to be transferred over to like the audience and the judges. And I think that they can sense that if you're not being you, to some degree,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of, it shows like if you're, you know, it's just transparent to me, like that you aren't really trying to be yourself. You're trying to be someone else, you know?
Yeah. So, and I talking to Sandy, last year, I got a chance to talk to her one-on-one, and she had, mentioned, you know, something about Narman, Asuria, who's been competing since like forever.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing competitor, amazing, you know, energy and stage presence. But she was, especially if the judges have, you know, they get to know you, they've seen you before. She was like, one day, you know, Narman, she looked amazing, but you could tell she just felt off, and she just wasn't, you know, on. She wasn't her typical, you know, self in her presence on stage. And that actually hurt her, you know, judging wise, because the judges, to them, they thought that she looked amazing, but I guess, you know, something just, you know, wasn't on for her. She wasn't feeling her physique, her conditioning or something that day. And it actually just hurt her, because that was what she was focused on, was, you know, her not being on, instead of just being on stage and feeling it. And yeah, so I mean, regardless of what you're feeling about your physique that day, walk on stage and own it, because there's nothing you can do about it now.
Yeah, exactly. No, I like that mentality. And so I just had a quick question, because I was talking to Beatrice, you know, on the interview, and she was at the Arnold, obviously.
Love
too.
Her.
She's such a sweetie. And she was telling me that, you know, it's a lot different when you're an amateur, where basically the judging is done in the pre-judging round. But then as a pro, she said she actually improved her placing by, like she went from 8th to 7th because she ate more food and got like a little bit more filled out, and then improved her tan in between on the Arnold. Did you have that opportunity to get like feedback about, did you make changes in between the morning and the night show for the Arnold? I didn't know if that, that was something that's like talked about, or is, she had said that JM kind of like clued her in on that.
So we didn't really try to change much. We tried to maybe fill out a little bit more, to see if, I don't know, that might have made a difference in my placing. I had like a little burger and some fries right after prejudging, and then just like put my feet up for a bit, hoping that they might, you know, stick me in that top 10, but I was 11th, so I was like, oh, so close. But yeah, no, we didn't really move much.
Okay. And then for your, so as you're going and preparing for the Olympia, now that the date has been moved back, does that change anything about your preparation?
Oh yeah.
Got some more time.
I was in prep like two weeks. We started it 2 weeks ago, as of yesterday. And as soon as, it's funny, I was talking to Angelica like through, Instagram direct message.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, yeah, see you in December. I was like, oh, and it was before the announcement came out. So I was like, oh, Paul, I texted him. I was like, hey, do you have a moment to chat? And, cause they had already made it, a post that they were going to make an announcement about it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But I had already before that even heard that there was a rumor that it was going to be in December. And so we were going to plan on doing a couple shows right before the O, just to see, test out some looks, since we obviously haven't quite nailed it yet. And we were going to try to hopefully maybe do Tampa Pro in Clash, actually. I'll just say it now since I'm not doing them anymore.
The secrets are out.
But yeah. once they made the announcement, I was like, Paul, what are we doing? He's like, yeah, no, we're not in prep anymore. Just relax and rest. And I'm so relieved, just because I am kind of tired. I won't lie. I've been going, so this, it'll be between 6 and 7 months, we'll be, you know, having some time to rest before we start prep again. Because it'll be March through probably late August, September, that I'll have some time to kind of recoup. That'll be the longest I've had off since 2018.
Yeah.
Which for some people, you know, that's nothing, because some people just go and go and go. But for me, I need a minute.
Yeah.
So I'm relieved. Plus, we have some, Keith and I, we wanted to take a trip up to Pennsylvania, look at some wedding venues, since we are trying to plan a wedding for next year. And then I wanted to visit my family in Arkansas, you know, to see my mom, my grandmother, and just kind of, you know, live a little. And also just focus on, you know, growing and managing my business. And I'm applying to doctorate of physical therapy programs actually in the fall. So trying to work on getting my GRE score up.
Wow. You're just doing it all.
Yeah.
So, you're a busy lady. Oh my goodness.
Yes. So as much as I would love to just be like, oh, all I do is compete and prep, and represent, you know, my brands, there are quite a few other things that I have my, you know, quite a few pools I dip my toes in. So I'm a busy girl.
Yeah. So can you tell us, we didn't even talk about this, but what do you do for a living currently?
Well, right now I'm a full-time posing coach. Oh,
okay.
But before I just quit my job, I think I want to say it was right after the Arnold or right before.
Okay.
Somewhere like early January, February. But I was a full-time athletic trainer.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So what inspired you to take that leap?
Honestly, it was me kind of wanting to just be, I love this sport so much. I love fitness. I love being involved in this sport, the opportunities it brings, the platform that we're on as competitors, especially in the NPC and the IFBB. Like, I mean, the opportunities are huge for exposure to, you know, more opportunities. And just athletic training, working, it was just not fulfilling. And it was starting to kind of become it's just in the way of me trying to expand and really pursue what it is I wanted to do. So I waited and I waited, you know, I was posing, coaching, and athletic training. But I couldn't have my schedule for posing as open as I wanted it to be, because I had to worry about work. My schedule was up in the air sometimes, and it was just like, okay, I'm done with this. So once it started to prove that it was provide some sort of financial stability, I was like, I'm appreciative of the opportunities that I have been afforded in athletic training, but it is time for me to step away. It was scary. Yeah. I had the resignation letter in my inbox or my draft folder for like 3 days. And I talked to my dad about it. I talked to Keith about it, because obviously, you know, we live together. Right. We have bills to pay. You know, being self-employed doesn't always prove to be the most financially stable thing to do, but it's been really good. And it also just allows me to focus on being a professional athlete.
Yeah. Well, I just think that anytime that it can be a leap of faith and it can be really scary, but sometimes it takes, you know, freeing up your time so that you allow for that to come in.
Yeah.
And then it's so abundant, because
it was,
if you're
so
passionate
worth it.
About it, then it's just going to keep growing. And I can tell just by what you're talking about, like with your connection with your clients. So I can tell that you're really, really good at what you do and that you're going to find huge success. So before we hop off, I just wanted to get your take on what you're doing in quarantine and how you've been adapting. And has anything about your life changed? Are you glad that, you know, you kind of went the online posing coaching, and then how's your training going, all that good stuff?
Oh my gosh. Okay. Well, yes. Super happy I made the transition to working from home, because I probably wouldn't have a job if I was working at the hospital right now. I was per diem, like, or part-time, but okay. I was working full-time hours. Mm-hmm. But I was not, like, the head athletic trainer at any of the high schools I was working at and filling in at. So I think I made the right move. Super grateful I did, just because now, yeah, you know, timing. Yes, it was perfect timing. With regards to my nutrition, so I do, you know, I'm pretty consistent with it, but I do like to actually order Icon Meals.
Okay.
It's a meal prep company. Because of all the free shipping, it's nice to not have to, it's basically the same as my grocery bill would be, like, on a weekly basis, to have it just ordered and shipped to my house. I don't have to weigh and cook everything, especially with, like, reverse dieting or trying to stay on track and, like, stay within a, just be consistent with my diet regimen. I find it to be super duper helpful and convenient, just because obviously sometimes you're tired, you're lazy, or you're super hungry and you don't feel like cooking or preparing anything. So it makes things a lot easier and stress-free.
It takes away the risk too of having to go into the grocery store for exposure.
Right, exactly. I mean, yeah.
It's like a slam dunk right now, really.
Yeah, exactly. So super grateful. I think they've been having, like, free shipping, like, for the entire, at least for them, they're having free shipping for weeks now. So
that's awesome.
That's super nice. Training wise, it actually works out for us perfectly, because I bought a treadmill right before stuff started to get, like, sold out and, like, increased in price.
Yeah, it's been crazy how people have marked stuff up that are trying to sell equipment. Yeah, that was smart of you to get that right before. So you've been able to do your cardio there?
Yep, I do my cardio at home. I went to Walmart and got some bands. I ordered some off Amazon before they got sold out. So I've been kind of just getting my workouts in at home. It's kind of fortunate for me. People are going to be like, oh, I hate her. But because we're trying to lose muscle right now, having no gym to go to really isn't that big of an inconvenience.
Yeah. I was going to say, it probably helps you with your goals right now. Really?
Yeah. It's kind of whatever. My fiance, on the other hand, kind of misses being able to go whenever he wants. But you know, it is what it is. But as much of an introvert as I am, I do miss just kind of, like, being able to, I don't know, just go out to places, go out to dinner. We really wanted to go to Disney and Universal for the summer, but we won't be able to do that. But, you know, I'm managing. I have a lot of Netflix and a lot of, you know, nerd reading to catch up on, so try to make the best of it. But it's nice that I'm, you know, quarantined with my fiance and my two dogs, so I do have entertainment, like, almost 24/7.
And so Keith, your fiance, how does he how does this whole, I mean, it sounds like he was the one that basically was like, hey, you need to channel your competitive nature to this, you know, something direct, this energy from the gym. How else how does the dynamic of your relationship work in regards to prep? Like, does he, you know, eat some of the same things? Like, do you guys go to the gym? How does that all work? How do you do date night and things like that?
So we try to have, like, luckily with, like, because our dieting approach, I do flexible dieting. So, you know, there have been times when I'm on prep, like, even for the Arnold prep, you know, I was like, oh, like, we should go out to dinner or something, just to get out of the house and get out of, like, the typical, like, everyday routine of eating at home. And then I know last year when I had refeeds, I would just make burgers for us every weekend and have something at home, and he likes it because he really doesn't do a lot of cooking. So that was his nice little treat for the week. He does like to go to the gym and work out pretty regularly. He likes to stay in shape. He's actually lost, like, I want to say like 10 to 15 pounds by just like cleaning up his diet. Because, you know, typical men get to just diet for 5 minutes and then they drop weight.
Right.
Annoying. yeah, he walks on the treadmill for like 20 minutes and he's like, oh, I dropped 5 pounds since last week. I'm like, good for you.
Does he eat the Icon meals too then? I take it or no?
He will. I'll ask him sometimes if I'm placing an order just because for me, so he's actually the exact opposite of me when it comes to food. I like to just to eat. It makes me happy. I get like an emotional connection with my food.
Yeah.
He, on the other hand, does not. He basically just like eats to survive. So he could live off PB&J and like bologna sandwiches if he wanted to. So trying to get him to eat like quality foods for us is like, and usually the most of the time what we argue about is me trying to make sure he eats during the day. Because he can go like hours and hours and hours without eating. And I'm like, Keith, you need to feed yourself, especially as much as he likes to go to the gym. So I'll try to talk him into getting some just so I can make sure he eats on a typical basis.
Too cute. Well, it's been such a pleasure interviewing you. I feel like you've been such a wealth of knowledge, and I'm sure that our listeners have gotten so many wonderful, amazing nuggets, and you're so inspirational. But I just wondered if you could share before we sign off any kind of advice that you have for competitors, especially in these times where, you know, we're just in an uncertain time where shows are getting changed and people are, you know, we're kind of in that first phase of, you know, maybe some people are able to go back to the gym, but there's restrictions. Do you have any kind of advice for people that, you know, are maybe trying to prepare for a show that is uncertain? I didn't know if you had words of wisdom.
Yeah. So, I mean, my biggest thing is we all have a choice. You know, we don't have to do anything we don't want to do. It's completely 100%. And honestly, for me, I know everyone's different, but prep and competing, you know, it's something I do for myself. And hopefully, you know, prepping and competing is something you do for yourself as well and for nobody else. So there's no pressure to not compete. There's no pressure to compete. You know, don't let other people's opinions, options, you know, within reason, you know, sway your what it is that you want for yourself, you know. Just making sure that you're still connected with your why as to why you compete, why you love to get on stage. Because especially with this uncertain time of not really knowing, you know, what shows are going to still happen, when something's going to get canceled or postponed, kind of almost like a prep at your own risk kind of thing. You know what the situation is now. You know that something is, it might not happen. So to just not let it dictate, you know, your entire year. You don't want a whole entire year to go by and you look back and you're like, I spent that whole year miserable because I chose to stick something out when I didn't want to do it anymore. Or and vice versa. You say someone told you that it wasn't going to be worth it and then you decided not to compete. And then you go, you know, a couple months and you're like, dang, I should have stuck with that. It's completely between you and yourself. Yeah, it's supposed to be fun. That's my whole thing is you're supposed to have fun with it. It's supposed to be something that, you know, gives you goals, gives you something to look forward to work towards. I don't know. It's just that for me.
Yeah, I think that's a really powerful way of looking at it. And I think that that's wonderful advice. So if there's anybody that's kind of just going towards, you know, their pro card, they've maybe done a couple regional competitions. Do you have any words of wisdom for those competitors?
Absolutely. I mean, for me, the thing is, my always biggest piece of advice is to have fun. I think that when you're getting so nervous, so anxious, so excited, so you're working so hard for something, and you just want your hard work to reflect on stage and for the judges to have their decision be in your favor. You know, standing backstage, trying to be so focused and so, you know, in the zone, kind of forgetting to enjoy and be so present in that moment. It goes by so fast that you don't, you know, you don't want to look back on that show day, regardless of what happened, and be like, dang, I didn't really have that much fun because I was just focusing on trying to be, you know, quote unquote, in the zone. It's fine to kind of channel your energy and try to not let it, you know, consume you, but, you know, just make sure that once your heel hits that stage, there's nothing, you know, that you're going to change in a matter of seconds, or no move that you're going to do or carve that you're going to eat that's going to say, oh crap, you know, if I hadn't done that, or if I had done that, I would have won my pro card. You know, you want to be as prepared as possible. Obviously things happen, but it's not going to be the end all be all. And don't rush. Don't be in such a rush to get it done, because I can promise you, once you get there, and I'm using air quotes, the work is not done. You know, there's still, if anything, to me, it gets even harder, because now when you get to the shows like the Arnold, the Olympia, this is something that I learned. You're no longer just being compared to your best. It's not just about you bringing your best. It's about how you bring your best to represent your division. So just take that in for what it's worth. And enjoy the journey. Learn as much as you can. Network, make friends, you know, find what it is, you know, inside you that makes you so passionate about it, and just run with it. See where it takes you. And don't let anybody talk you out of your dream. You know, people have told me that I'm better suited for other divisions, or that I have a great structure for this, or I should do that. But I didn't listen. I did what I wanted. I worked hard for it. And I'm here. I'm where I am now because I knew what I wanted. I said it out loud, and I didn't let anybody tell me any different.
And when did that click for you? Did you, when you did NPC Nationals and you got fourth, did you kind of have like an epiphany moment, or were you at that time kind of coming into it with the same mentality? I just wonder if maybe something changed, like when you won the overall, did you just finally kind of let go of what the outcome might be and just know that you did your very best, like moving into it? How did those two mentalities compare?
Actually, not at all. To be quite honest, every time I get off stage, I'm super eager to see my stage shots because I want to know what I can improve for next time, which I feel like sometimes I should be a little more like, you know,
celebrate
in the moment.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always going to be that next challenge ahead. It's not just like, oh, I crossed the finish line, I'm going to just coast from here. And it's not just in your physique. You know, there's areas to improve everywhere. You know, competing isn't just, you know, you're not just a competitor. It's not just about the stage all the time, 24/7. There has to be something else that you're, you know, do you have goals and aspirations in? Even if competing and being the best in the world is your goal, I know it's mine. That's not the only thing that I'm focused on. You know, I'm not just a competitor. I'm also, you know, a fiance. I'm a sister. I'm, you know, a future Dr. DeRaja Hill.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of other things that I do. And I don't want to say that you should never be satisfied with what you bring to the stage, win or lose. I'm just saying, you know, there's always room to do better. There's areas to improve on, to work towards. You know, the work is never done, which can be intimidating. But if you look at it the right way, it's actually very exciting.
Yeah, totally. So I want our listeners to be able to reach out to you. Or, you know, follow you on social media. If we have listeners, which I'm sure we do, that are interested in your posing business, can you tell us where we can find you?
Yeah, so my Instagram is DeRaja Hill Fit. It's just my full name, DeRaja Hill Fit. And then my posing website, the link is in my bio, but it's empowertopose.com. Or if you want to reach out, you can either DM me or go to empowertopose@gmail.com.
Awesome. And I'll put all of that in the show notes. So if you didn't catch any of that, you can just reference the show notes. So DeRaja, thank you so much for your time. I really, really appreciate you. And I just think you're such a genuine person. And you are a true ambassador of the sport, and I really appreciate your time today. So
thank you. I can't tell you how much that means to me, honestly. It means a lot.
Aw, well, thank you so much. And if you would like to find us on Instagram, you can find us at Prep Life Podcast or at glamgirlbikini.com. If you would like to apply for the team, you can find us at glamgirlbikini.com and hit the Get Started button to apply for the team. So this is your founder and CEO of Glam Girl Bikini, Amy Enger, signing off. Thanks for listening, guys.